got that. This didn't happen. But a lot of times, blessings in our lives are the people that we come in contact with. And I'm thankful that several years ago, Dan and Treasure and their team became people that I interacted with, had some work done at my house, and then work done at my church over and over and over again. And the folks at Treasure Your Landscape, they love Jesus. They are very, very good at what they do. They're a licensed and insured family-based business in Brevard County. They've got over 2 decades worth of experience. They have a full array of products that can meet whatever need you have, for whether you're looking for premium artificial turf that looks like a lawn with blades of grass and things like that. If you're looking for a putting green, they do that. They have paver installation, landscaping services. They install and manage drains and downspouts, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They can do everything from design to planting and maintaining. Their goal is to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. If you'd like to lay eyes on some of the things that they have available, you could actually visit them at Space Coast Nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway, north of the Barge Canal on Merritt Island, and their phone number there is 321-452-5565. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. And I want to ask you to be praying for all of our residents that are out working in this heat. It's very intense this time of year. A lot of times people start early. And, you know, I've known some people that they started, and then the heat got so much that they called the day really early. I can tell you, Treasure Your Landscape, they want to take care of their people. They also want to take care of their customers. So be praying for all of them that are out there, that they would be kept safe in the heat. So thank you, Dan. Thank you, Treasure. Thank you, Treasure Your Landscape. 321-749-1432. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. If I were to ask you, one of the recurring topics in the book of Ephesians, or one of the most well-known topics, we could probably come up with several. We could come up with the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We could talk about relationships between husbands and wives in Ephesians chapter 5. We could talk about the works of the flesh. We could talk about in chapter 1 the things that are discussed there, and the great prayers that we can pray. But one of the recurring themes is that the love of God comes up over and over again in the book of Ephesians. So today we're going to be in Ephesians 3. We're going to start reading in verse number 14, we'll read all the way down to verse number 20, where it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with a might, or with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So, in verse number 17, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says that his desire for the church, and this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the church would be strengthened with a might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. Okay, that is absolutely essential. So, you know, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. It's not of works, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there is that strengthening of the Holy Spirit that comes. Christ dwells in our heart. That is absolutely essential. That process is through faith. We receive Jesus through faith. We receive God, the Holy Spirit, through faith. And the goal of that is that because of that relationship that we have with Jesus, the result would be that we are rooted and grounded in love, that we are established in love, that we are not easily moved because of the love of God that is placed in our heart and that we are becoming more and more aware of. So my wife's family had some property out in the southern central part of the U.S. And there was a plant on that property, and it had a tendency to want to thrive. It was an unwanted plant. It had been brought in. Somebody thought that it would look beautiful. They had brought it in at some point in the past. But this particular plant, it would grow laterally. It would grow along the ground, and every so often it would put down roots into the ground. And once it had established that, then it would grow vertically. And it was a nuisance plant. And I can't tell you how many days I've spent trying to get that under control out there through the years, but it's been a lot, and it's been very, very challenging. The problem was that once it was established, it was very hard to get rid of. In fact, I talked to Dan here in Florida and said, what can I do to, you know, get that under control, get it eliminated from the yard? I realize that God's prayer for us is that we would be so vibrant because of Jesus living in our heart that it would cause us to be established where, just like that plant, we've got roots that are growing down, that they're anchored to the soil, they're anchored to one another. And I think having that rooted aspect is very, very important. I'm no arborist. I'm not a tree expert or anything like that. But what I have been told is that the giant sequoias, the redwoods out in California, that one of the reasons that those trees can grow so tall is not just because of that individual tree, but because of the root structure of each of those trees underneath the ground, that it causes them to be able to survive, and a lot of times where other trees couldn't survive, because they get rooted together. There's this underground subsurface connection that takes place. And so it's not just that we send down roots, but we also become grounded. And that word for grounded means to have a foundation, to be established. A foundation is something that you can build upon. And here we see that not only are we supposed to have roots that go down and be anchored in Jesus, but it is a foundation that allows for upward mobility, for there to be stability. And here it says that is to be rooted and grounded in love. I pray that all of us are rooted and grounded in love for God. We're also rooted and grounded in love for one another. That we understand that God loves us, we're also supposed to love Him. And as a result of that, we're going to be rooted and grounded together. I've often used the analogy of a wheel, of a bicycle wheel, where the spokes, the closer you get to the center, the closer those spokes are to one another. And if we get our relationship with God right, and we are moving towards Him, being drawn closer and closer to Him, by the very nature of our journey, we should be getting closer and closer to one another. There's a purpose for this, and the purpose is delineated in verse number 18, where it says that the saints may be able to comprehend, with all the saints. So there is supposed to be this strengthening where we can grasp or comprehend or understand or lay hold of with the other saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Okay, now here's what I can tell you. The width of God's love is too big for any of us to understand. I remember when I first moved to Florida, and I became part of a church here. I mean, I've been a part of a church in several states, and we prayed, God, we want to be where you placed us. So let me drive and chase a rabbit for just a moment, because I function different spiritually than a lot of people do, and so I thought I would share with you how I function with all of this saint relationship. Okay, so a lot of people, when they are looking for a church, they are looking for, okay, does it have this program? Does it have that program? Is it small? Is it big? Is it this? Is it that? I've always been mystified by that. It's not that I don't want to provide great ministry opportunities, because I do. It's, I know that there are people that say you need to have a very specific type of individual that you're looking for, and I want you to know we have that. If you are living, if you are breathing, we want to minister the love of Jesus to you, because God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. So since the kingdom of God is people from every tribe, every tongue, that's where we are. So we're not a large church. We're a very small church, but we have a lot of different countries that are represented in our church, because we want everybody to be reached. So when my job transferred me to Florida, we said, God, we will go wherever you want us to go, but you've called us into ministry, so we're going to need you to open up doors of ministry for us. And so we came, we visited a church, and we looked at it and said, there's a lot of ministers here, and it's not a very large church, we're probably not going to end up here. And that was exactly where we ended up. What we didn't know is that they were getting ready to plant a church, and within a couple of months, doors of ministry were opening up for us. It wasn't that we chose it because of any of the things that are going on. In fact, our first visit there was anything but welcoming. And, you know, I don't need to go into that. It wasn't anything bad. It's just if you were looking at church growth models and, hey, you need to have phenomenal interaction with people in their nursery and your greeters and all that, on that day, on that particular day, that score would have been negative. And a lot of times people would say, that is not where I'm going to church. But for us, it was never about our will. It was about God's will. And so when we prayed, God said, that's where I want you. We did not know what was coming up in the months ahead. We did not know what was coming up in the years ahead. And so if you're looking for a church, rather than just going to a website, here's what I'd encourage you to do. Pray and ask God. God, where would you like us to be planted, like us to be established? Where do you want us so that we can build relationship, so that we can understand the love of God, that our family understands the love of God, and that we can communicate the love of God the most effectively throughout our community? And when we seek God's divine placement, he's not going to make a mistake. He is not going to be planting us someplace that it is going to be to our detriment, but to our betterment. And so it doesn't matter if you're trying to measure the width or the length or the depth and the height of God's love, you are going to find that his love goes beyond every measuring device. But it is not just superficial. Okay? So you can have width, you can have length, you can have height, but a lot of times people have a superficial understanding of the love of God. What we really need to get to is to understand that the love of God is not just superficial, but it has substance. It has depth. It is that substance that causes us not just to have a certain appearance, but actually to begin to function and thrive with the greatest dynamic that we can operate in, and that is love for God and love for one another. So that comes when we begin to understand and bond to one another. Here in verse number 19, it goes on and it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Okay? So he wants us to know, to understand, and acknowledge the love of Christ. And no matter how much we know about it, it exceeds that. It goes beyond that. It is more than we can know. It surpasses knowledge. And here's the end of verse number 19. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? So I want you to begin to understand there's length, there's width, There's depth, there's height, and the more we know, the more there is of him we know that there is to know. And so as we build relationships with one another, we see how much God loves this group, and God loves that group, and loves this person and that person. And we begin to know the love of Christ is more than we can know. It is so rich and so all-encompassing. It goes beyond anything that I can describe. And all of that is to lead us to a place where we are not running on fumes, but instead we're filled, as it says here, with all the fullness of God. Think about that paradox. A God who cannot be measured comes in all of his fullness to live inside of our heart. And the more we investigate the love of God, the more we're motivated to live that same type of life. I have a saying that I use that when God shows up, he brings his entire entourage of blessings with him. God is all in on having a relationship with you. But it's a relationship that is based on his terms, not our terms. I look at headlines in the world, and a lot of times I see people who are in a position of weakness trying to negotiate with a person who is negotiating from a place of strength. And they think that they are on equal terms. And it's like, that is not the case. So there are certain things in this world that reflect the love of God, and having a contrary opinion is not an equally valid point. It's rebellion. Sometimes it is not the love of God. It is the love of self. There is a horrible law that was passed recently in one of the states, and it is not the equivalent to say, well, you know, they're doing them, I'm doing me. No, it's there is good and there is evil. And God wants us to function in such a way that we are filled, if I could put it this way, we're filled to overflowing. We're filled to the full. We are filled with the fullness of God. Now, there are a lot of things in this world that can fill people. Let me take you to one particular passage, if I can. And it is when Simon Peter is ministering, and it comes upon a guy by the name of Simon the Sorcerer, and Simon the Sorcerer becomes a believer, and he starts doing everything all of the other believers do. This is in Acts chapter 8, and in verse number 22, when Peter confronts Simon the Sorcerer, who wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter responds in verse 20, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity.'" What had happened was Simon had lost his influence. He had lost his prestige in the sight of his community. And even though he had professed earlier in chapter 8 that he was a believer, it says that in verse 13, and he was baptized, and he continued with Philip, and he was seeing the amazing things that were done, but he was full of bitterness, and it was poisoning him. I don't know about you, but if someone asks me, how much poison do you want to have in your life? I want that level to be zero. I don't want anything that could be destroying me. And so there are people who are filled with bitterness. They are filled with strife. They are filled with discord. They are filled with anger. They are filled with pride, filled with bitterness. We've talked about that. Filled with rebellion. I wonder what it would look like if all of those things that people are filled with were contrasted with thousands, tens of thousands of believers in Brevard County who are filled with the fullness of God. I think that we would come out looking very, very well, that we would be reflecting the nature of God, and that people would be saying, I need what they've got. And so I want to encourage all of us today to press in, to be rooted and grounded in love, so that we can know the love of Christ, surpasses knowledge, and that we would all be filled with all the fullness of God. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.